Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name's Megan Cloherty. I'm here today with fellow producer Michael O'Connell and Yuri Victor, the senior user experience designer at Vox Media. Until recently, Yuri was the director of user experience and product development at the Washington Post. And before that, he was digital content and design manager at the San Diego Union Tribune. Welcome, Yuri. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
To start off with, tell us just briefly like what a senior user experience designer does. What are you focusing on?
I have no idea.
This is a good start.
there is user experience people, and there's the idea that, you know, the people that use the website, the people that, you know, read the news, they are our users. But I also like to focus on kind of the whole, you know, from beginning to end. So when you create a great company and the experience for the people working there is good, what I found is that we end up being able to create great products. And so for me, it's not just design. It's not just how it works and how it feels. Those are all important, but it's also how you are and how you feel at a company. And so, really, I think this is to me exciting, because I think this is the year that we're going to focus on creating great companies and creating a great culture. And I think in turn that will create great products.
Do you feel like this is sort of a younger generation thing? This is a position that wouldn't have existed 30 years ago because people were like, it's just work. And now we're like, no, we want bouncy balls and to be able to bring our pets in. And
his office is right next to the social media manager, I guess.
Exactly. It is becoming more important for quality of life. And so people sort of enjoy the experience more. They want to come to work, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's some of it is always going to be work. And
we can't get away from that.
Yeah, you can't. It's not like school where you have school and then you have recess. No, there's always going to be work, and some of that's going to be bad. But we want people to be happy. And that's something that I think we're, in the last like 5 years, we've really started to ask, why are people unhappy? And it's, I think it's an important question. I think it's, you know, there's not like a direct answer, but I think that we're trying to solve it. And that's, I think, important. Okay. And also, it's a startup. So not only am I working on that, I worked on our editorial style guide, rewriting all of AP style because it was built for newspapers, and I like, you know, the internet.
You're fixing the coffee machine.
I shot video the other day. I'm doing a little bit of kind of everything.
This interview sort of came out of an event I went to, I think last month or the month before. ONA, Online News Association DC meetup at the Washington Post. And, you know, there were a bunch of people from the Post and they were doing presentations, and you gave a presentation of this is what a digital newsroom looks like. And I found it really fascinating. Well, now he's laughing. I made all that up as you're going on. But you had graphics, so you obviously had put some preparation into it.
Yes.
So what makes a digital newsroom different?
Well, I think that All newsrooms in general, and this is not just something that affects newsroom, it affects all companies that want to produce products, a new vertical, a new idea. And what happens is that when you don't have experience doing that, when you don't have experience on the internet, somebody has an idea, so you form a committee and you have a meeting. And then you have a lot of meetings and you have to get people from, you know, IT and design, and if you're smart, you're getting people from those departments. If you're not, then you meet for a year and then be like, oh, how are we going to actually do this? And you're going to need those people.
How's the progress going on that project
that
you're working on?
And so this is something that affects all companies. It's not just newsrooms, but it's something that I in a newsroom noticed, and it's something that we changed. I think, and we're very effective at the Post doing, is that instead of having committees and meetings in which committees need then managers, and then you need managers for the managers, and then people feel like they have no voice because they don't even know the manager, and so you end up with a lot of managers and bureaucracy and all of these things, and then it's a year later and you still haven't actually produced a product. And what ends up happening is, because everything is siloed, you have an IT department, you have a newsroom department, you have, you know, different desks in the newsroom, and you have design department, I don't even know where that's sitting, and so you actually like create all of these like really crazy silos. And so to actually get time with somebody in a department, you have to talk to their manager. And now this person is, again, like experience, is reporting to two different people. They're reporting to the product manager for this, you know, this really great idea of like, they, you know, it's an app that's going to change the world. And so they're reporting to that person, but they're also reporting to their manager, which is like the design director. And now they suddenly it's like, who do I have to make happy?
Well, and that's what you're spending your time doing,
right?
Is reporting about what you right. should be doing.
You're in meetings with two different people now, and so it creates a very like hostile environment as well, because you have egos then, mm-hmm. and people like trying to get ahead, and everybody's focused on their department rather than the product.
So you streamline that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's one of the first, I think, and most important things that smart newsrooms are doing is they're moving their developers and their designers into the newsroom. So they sit next to the reporters. They're part of the news. And they have to have the same kind of gravitas and the same kind of respect that reporters do. So they should be byline. They should be, you know, important. They should be considered journalists. And what the work that they do with data and with design, in many ways, is really great journalism. They have to do research, and they have to do, like, reporting, and they have to go talk to people. And that, to me, has always been journalism. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you don't actually write words. What matters is that you're doing something that matters to the public, that you're informing people. And so the smartest newsrooms, this one thing we did at the Post, one of the first really smart things, we brought all these people into the newsroom, and we said, let's build great stuff together. And when I go and talk to other newsrooms, I meet a lot of unhappy people. From the top to the bottom, they say, why can't we produce stuff like you do? And every single time I'm like, well, how is your setup? And it's always silos. And it's always, in management school, they call it a mixed matrix management, because that's a horrible word already. But it just means that people have to end up reporting to a lot of different people. And you should be reporting to the public. And you should be reporting to the product. And that's I think a lot of user experience in general is how do we get from here to there as a company,
and sort of organically bringing talents together, so then you end up with a better product because people cared about it more and they worked better together on it.
Yeah, and that's what I think this year is really, I hope, going to be about. I really think this year is going to be about creating cultures that foster innovation, that foster ideas, that keep people happy, and that they want to work, they want to do really great things. Because when you talk to, when you ask people, like, why did you get into journalism? The answer is almost universally the same. I wanted to do something that mattered. There's like this social, like, gravitas to the answer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you ask them, like, so how did that go? The answer is almost always really badly.
It was killed in a meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
My idealism was destroyed by endless meetings about something that I had forgotten why I proposed it. But so we're streamlining the process now. Is this something that you guys are doing at Vox?
Yeah. So it's so we're actually just now hiring kind of visual and data team. But we take the approach that every single person that works at Vox is a data person, every single person is a visual person, and every single person is a reporter. And when you come at it from that approach, then we're all responsible for these really, I think, important things. Mm-hmm. And it spreads the responsibility, it spreads the wealth, and we can all get better at that. And when we sit next to each other, then the problem is when you have people that are designers sitting next to designers, they become really great designers. They don't become really great product people. Mm. And when you put a designer next to a programmer, they learn code. And when you put a designer next to a reporter, they learn reporting. And it's this shared kind of wealth where we all take one step up.
Did you notice that stories were getting done faster? By any means, like, I don't know. I would question if it would take longer because you have more people to sort of interact with. But then at the same time, you see a guy working next to you who's working on the same thing. You're like, oh, yeah, I have to get back on that.
Yeah, we have in the new newsroom at Vox, we all sit next to each other. I mean, there's like 20 people. So it's just like two tables and we're all sitting at those tables. And it's really exciting. It's really fun to, like, because I'm learning so much about all of the things that they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have Sarah Cliff, who's probably like one of the smartest people in the country about healthcare right now, and sitting next to her and learning about healthcare and learning all these things. Like, we're writing a piece right now about global warming. And I read articles about climate change, but I learned so much that it's actually like really exciting. It's one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, I feel so smart now. I can go and to a DC, you know, restaurant and be able to talk about this.
Which is, in the end, the most important thing.
Right? Yeah, right.
What we really want to do. So it sounds like, and I think maybe Megan was touching on this, that you know, having a newsroom design like this would seem to make the staff a little more nimble, that if something breaks and people are sort of working together as a team, I know where there's data that we can do something to inform your story or to give to the graphics team to create something that'll help and make it a better experience. That would seem to be the
and you become friendlier that way. You know how to work with people, and the you know, when you talk about like a lot of newsrooms, what ends up happening, and when I talk to people, is that you have a department, or you know, the newsroom usually is the people that come up with ideas, or we hope, and because that's where the best ideas come from, and they come up with an idea and they go to a designer, and the designer says, oh, yeah, I'll work on this. And they make wireframes. And then they go back to a meeting. And then the wireframes get turned into, like, 2 gigs of files in a Dropbox folder of PSDs for Photoshop. And then those PSDs get sent to a developer. And this is, like, 6 months down the road. And there's, like, meetings every day about it. And the developer's like, oh, my gosh, this is so much work. And there's, like, a binder now of, like, requirements and all these people's ideas. And you know, so the developer does the best they can. They get it back to the original person who had this idea, who's like, oh, well, I just thought it disappeared because it's a year now. And they look at it and they're like, that's not it at all.
Oh, no.
And that's a really, 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 really sad way. So what then, you know, newsrooms hear about something called Agile and they go, I like Agile. There's a lot of meetings. There's a daily meeting. And so they try to duct tape this on top of their already horrible structure, and it just doesn't work. And the best way is actually to have people sitting together working on things that they are passionate about. And that's when I look at companies like Vox, you know, and NPR does this, they call them product shepherds. They have these really great teams that work together on really, really great products, and they are able to be nimble, they're able to be agile, they're able to change quickly because they're small teams that are centrally focused on things that matter. And that creates a passion.
I would imagine something like that is easier to bring about in a startup space, that where you're not having to deal with all of the structure that was put in place to put out a paper or, you know, a larger publication or something like that.
Yeah.
My question is, how does that translate then onto, I mean, if I'm visiting your website, how can I tell that the product has improved? Or can you tell from other websites that they're doing something better than their traditional newsroom?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because it's all great that we all want to go to work and work together in harmony, but then you have to have a show in the product, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, we have there's the greatest and probably the worst part about the internet is that we have a lot of data. We have data for everything. I know exactly tons of information about, you know, who's coming to our website, how much they make, where they live, what are they clicking, how long are they reading, how long are they staying. We have a lot of data. And so we know usually pretty instantaneously whether something works or not. And that's why we try to get stuff out as early as possible. Like with Vox, we're going to be launching very soon. And it's considering like half the staff started 2 weeks ago now. It's going to be really fast, and we'd rather get stuff out early so that we can check that data and actually see if our original ideas worked. And so you push stuff out early and then you iterate, you change stuff and you try to make it like somewhat better. You try to figure out, okay, this person is not spending a lot of time with these articles. Why? Mm. And that's where I get excited, because this is where user experience really comes in, is why are people liking this and not liking this?
Right.
And then looking at the data to try to come up with a solution to help people.
Does it end up being a presentation thing more so than, you know, what the topic is, really?
I think both are important. We say content is king, and you look at most news websites and content is like a third of the page. And then there's a bunch of ads and there's like nav. So some of it is presentation. How do we actually create great things? And we, you know, it's really great to have a team that really believes that quality will lead to success. And not being, you know, nickeling, diming, turning people over like they're piggy banks every time they come to the website and shaking the little, like, half of a cent for the 20 ads and the pop-up and the video pre-roll and all of these things to actually, like, create something that people want to read that gives them a really good experience, that they don't feel gypped by the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say content is king, but people really respond to quality more so than just, you know, here's everything in the world at your fingertips. But if you know that you can come back and get something that sort of means something to you, it's a richer user experience, which goes back to what your job description is user experience. Were you involved at all in the No More feature at Washington Post?
I did.
I think that's really kind of interesting. Can you sort of talk about that?
Yeah, it was. It's really interesting because it was Ezra, Dylan Matthews, and Melissa Bell, who I now work with at Vox. And it was during that project we said, okay, we think this is going to be a great success. And it was. And it was, the idea was, how do we take aggregation and do it in a way that's responsible? You see a lot of people take aggregation, they take other people's content, and then they make a lot of money off of that. And we wanted to say, okay, we want people to come to us because we're really great at, this is our job. Like, we have to know the news. We have to be really good at it. And we probably know more news than anyone else. So, like, let's share that kind of knowledge with other people. But let's do it in a way that's responsible. And what we found was that of the things that got a lot of page views for us also got a lot of page views to the source. So almost more than 80% of people were clicking through to the original source. Huh. And that was really our goal. Is the idea was, it kind of, we were like, well, what can we do with like the Wikipedia idea where you end up on Wikipedia and then you click a link and then next thing you know, it's 3 hours later and it's 4 in the morning and you're clicking a link and next link, next link, next link. So how do we do that with news? And the idea was No More. And so you come in, you read this one little snippet, and then you want to know more, and you go to an original source, and you get more data, or we can link you to a PDF, you know, a video, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And that was really exciting, is that we were actually able to help small sources and large sources get more traffic by doing this. And it became the most popular thing of the Washington Post in 3 weeks.
So you were basically curating articles, essentially, but then you'd have to tease them, right? A little bit.
Yeah. So we'd give people, you know, things that were shareable. So shareable journalism. So images, we would take a study maybe and make a graph out of it. And then we would link to the original study and people would click through and read, which is really, really exciting. And what we found during that project was that people actually want to be informed. Mm-hmm. We've just done a really, really poor job of giving people access to that information and putting it in a way that is accessible to them. And so it was during that project that we actually were like, well, what's next? We really like this idea. What are we going to do? And so that's kind of where Vox.com came from.
Yeah. So tell us about that. And just if people haven't been following up, this is only like, a month old since you guys went?
And quite a month. But
yeah, quite a month. So tell us the premise for it and just how things are going, where you guys are located,
all that stuff. This used to be called Project X.
Yes. Project X. Now Vox.com. It's going really well. It's the most exciting time I've ever had in a newsroom. And I came into a newsroom and I knew that's where I wanted to always be. I was a reporter. I was an editor. I've actually worked in the press room. I worked in advertising. I worked in marketing. I've done every single job you could possibly have at a newspaper. And now I'm doing, the digital side, and it is really exciting. And really the idea is we think that the news in general is a really hard format to actually understand information. So if you want to know about healthcare and you're coming in now, you'd have to read like 300 articles. You go to the Wikipedia page and it's about history. So on this date, this bill was passed that did this. Mm-hmm. But if you actually want to ask the questions like, how does this affect me? It's going to be really hard for you to find that information. And we've Googled this and we've tested this. And that was kind of why we were talking about this is it's really, really difficult to understand these really complex issues. And there was a study that came out in Al Jazeera the other day where 50% of Americans just said they didn't understand healthcare. And it wasn't an actual quiz, because I think if they actually quiz people, then that number would be much higher. And that's our fault. We have failed the public of informing them. And so we're talking about elections right now, and what is our election night coverage plan? And really our election night coverage plan is that we need to inform people 6 months ago so that when they get in the booth, they know who to vote for, and they know how that's going to impact them. So the next day's coverage shouldn't matter because we've already helped them
make a decision.
Right. And the healthcare is a great example because I think most of the reporting on that has been about the political side of it.
Exactly.
And has nothing
yes.
to do with the detail.
Yeah.
So tell us, like, how your newsroom, how Vox is structured. Obviously, you have the two tables.
Yes. is it like the newsroom in House of Cards?
Yeah.
Do you have a coffee bar?
Slug line. We actually have couches. We do have coffee. We have free bagels. It's kind of actually a dream. I mean, it's very much startup-y. There's so much free food, M&M's, Coca-Cola, you know, there's beer o'clock on Fridays. It's just, I feel really bad for being, for loving it so much.
And it's here in D.C., right?
Yeah. It's on 12th and Connecticut, like right where M and Rhode Island come together. Mm-hmm. And we actually, it's... So when I was talking to Ezra about this idea, we go on a walk and we end right in front of the White House. And he's like, is this what you want to do? And I was like, yes. I mean, how do you...
You felt like you're in a sitcom.
Yes.
You're scouting out the locations for the movie about the launch of
Right. Okay. And now from my desk, I look straight at the Washington Monument. And it's just... It's one of those like really, really kind of like, oh... We gotta do really well.
We have to do really well.
You're living the cliche. I love these old movies where they show somebody's like in an office and behind them is like the Lincoln Memorial. And
right.
Like, where the hell is this office at? Did they build that on the mall?
You're right.
It's just like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's such an inside
pond there.
Right. So you guys launch in 2 weeks?
Soon. We're just saying soon right now. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No dates.
No dates.
No dates. Yeah. Well, no. Most of the staff started 2 weeks ago, and then we're launching very quickly. And I mean, there's news happening, and the reporters are already like, "I want to go cover this."
Mm-hmm.
And
so you guys have archives. You will have archives by the time you. I mean, like there'll be backstories enough that there's enough content to click around.
Yeah. Well, there will be a lot of content. I think. You know, we're all very like. Type A people, and so we came in and we're like, and we can do this in like 6 months, but instead we said we want to get up, and we these are reporters want to report, and if we have them sit in a newsroom for 6 months, they're going to be bored out of their minds.
Do you have a particular focus? I mean, is it politically focused? Is it general news?
It's very, I think, general. You know, we're going to cover politics, and we're going to cover, you know, things in DC people care about. But we really want to help people understand the news. And we talk about this a lot when digital came out and the newspaper was out, is that, you know, the digital side was very good at breaking news. We break the news, and then why people come to the newspaper was for the analysis, the deeper kind of reporting. And we're saying, now, let's flip that. Let's get people to the digital side for the analysis. So we're not going to be... breaking news. We're not going to be like that kind of site. We want people to help people really understand what's happening in the world around them. And it's such a complex thing. And Max Fisher, who is fantastic at covering, you know, foreign policy and foreign politics, if you want to know about what was happening in, you know, in the Middle East or in Russia and in Ukraine, he is one of the best people to cover that. And he has really, really great ideas of what do people want to know? And that's a really smart way of approaching that, because a lot of articles, and I've written this. I did campaigns, I did elections, and what happens is you end up writing, you write like the same story over and over again with one new graph at the top, and you just every day you change that one graph.
Okay, so tell me, tell us where. Obviously, it's going to be an exciting thing to watch because soon, as I'm putting in air quotes, we'll be able to see how this whole thing unveils. So tell us where. Our listeners can find you on social media, and then where they'll be able to find Vox.
Yeah, I'm at Yuri Victor, Y-U-R-I, Victor, and we're at vox.com, and we have social, Facebook, all of it pretty much the same kind of structure. And
we'll see if this whole experiment works. You can keep your seat at the Washington
Monument,
right?
Well, it's actually funny because we're working really hard right now to get this up and get ready and like write all this stuff, and then you go back to the newsroom where on, you know, the day after it launches, you have to do this over again every single day, which is really, really exciting. That's what I'm looking forward to.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find more info on us and download other episodes at itsalljournalism.com. This podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.